ABC Radio Hobart, and across Tasmania, 21 minutes to 10. I'm Louise Saunders, here until 11 o'clock this morning. And if you want to know about the experiences of children and young people in out-of-home care in this country, the best, I would say perhaps the only way to really find out what's happening is to ask the young people themselves. That's what CREATE has been doing. CREATE is a peak advocacy body that's been set up. It's released its report this week on the experiences of children and young people in out-of-home care. You'll meet in a moment too Nicola, who is 18, Nicola Jeffrey, who's been through the system, and Danielle Ashton with me as well, State Coordinator of the CREATE Foundation. Good morning and welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming in. I'll start with you, Danielle. Tell me what CREATE is. First of all,
so CREATE's the national peak body for children and young people in out-of-home care, which you've just said. So it's an opportunity for young people to have a voice and be heard, and we listen to the issues, the things that are working, not working in the system, and we feed that back to government, and we try and change the care system through their voices.
Voices of young people haven't always been heard when it comes to out-of-home care, have they?
No. So our current report, unfortunately, young people are not being involved in their case and care plans. But I mean, overall in Tasmania, we're doing a pretty good job.
That's it. I was thinking more historically rather than what you're doing at the moment, where it was a paternalistic approach and you stay there and we'll look after you. But it's interesting you say about not being involved in their own care plan. Is that something you think is important for older young people, do you think?
Very much so, particularly young people who are leaving care or transitioning to independence, as we like to call it. So it's very important for young people, because they know what they need, they know what they want, and what's important to them. What supports that they need around them, and it's not just for young people transitioning from care. It's actually it's for even the younger ones. They want to be involved, so it's really important.
With the younger ones, how do you do that? How do you communicate to get, I guess, honest and useful answers from young people, from young children, about this kind of care?
Well, I think it's really about making sure that there's resources that that connect with the younger ones. I think that if the child safety officers are particularly the ones that are actually doing the work with the young people, it's about connecting with them and making sure that they're using language that they understand. Making sure that the plans are interactive and have pictures that they can draw and things like that as well, and to be in an environment where they feel comfortable talking about what's important to them as well, not being in a stuffy office and things like that.
I'll come to Nicola in a moment. I just want to say what were some of the key findings when it came to, I guess, well, security and safety are probably two key aspects, aren't they?
Yeah, so we overall nationally, that's something that the child protection system is doing really well at, particularly in Tasmania. So young people are feeling safe and secure in their homes, that's really, really awesome. So we were really happy to have that statistic come through. So yeah,
let's talk to Nicola. Nicola is 18. She is heading on to the next phase of education and study. Thanks for coming in, Nicola.
Thank you.
How important do you feel that it was to be part of a process like this, to be asked what you think, how you feel, what things were like?
Oh, it's definitely very important. It's one of the key things in the care system. It could definitely make the difference to a young person's life. Like, for example, there's this thing called individual education plans, which should be implemented in every single child and young person, but it's actually very rare for a child and young person to have an individual education plan. But with children and young people, there's certain trauma of either going into care or before that. And studies have actually shown that children and young people in care are actually, or with trauma, are actually a bit slower than the rest of the kids in their class. Mm. And individual education plans could definitely aid them with that. And like contact between the caseworker, the carer, and the school could definitely change a young person's life. And instead of dropping out at grade 9, they could go on to university, for example.
Mm. So that continuity of contact's important, isn't it? And I think it's one of the things that's been an area where there's been an effort to make a change. Is that something that you found, that there were regular people in your life from the official services? or was it still a bit ad hoc, a bit over the place?
It was a bit of both, to be honest. Like, I've had caseworkers that have been in my life for a whole year, and I've had caseworkers that I've only seen once, and then they were moved on or promoted. It's a bit of mix and match in the system, really.
When you first went into out-of-home care, did you find that experience that you referred to where it was disruptive, it was hard to find your feet, to get yourself a feeling or a sense of security? How was that for you?
Repeat the question.
That's all right. When you first went into out-of-home care, did it take you a while to find your feet, to feel secure, to feel like you knew where you were?
Oh, definitely. I went into care when I was 10 and I was very confused. I can't even remember the day I was put into care, to be honest. It was such a weird experience for a stranger to completely come into your home and be like, right, pack your bags, you know, we're going to somewhere. It's totally insane when you think about it, but that's just how they do it. And they don't even tell you where you're going or anything.
As you got older, did you find the communication got a little bit better? Were you included more in at least being given the information about decisions made about you?
Probably a little bit. Not until I was probably 16, to be honest. It's definitely very hard because of the age I was placed and the trauma from that, I was a bit more mature for my years. And so I found it very hard when, like in meetings and such with caseworkers and carers and such, that I was trying to voice my opinion and they wouldn't listen, and I thought it was very odd. But luckily I found Create and they helped me.
I like what Nicola says there, because she had a voice, she was trying to use it, and she found it hard to be heard. Is that a regular story?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, I think that the workload for child safety officers is quite huge, and I think that you know, there's a lot of tick boxes that they've got to tick and things like that, and I think that you know, the young people need to be at the centre. And they are the ones that need to be listened to. And I think that there needs to be a bit of work around training and allowing time for our child safety officers to be able to build rapport and build those experiences with the young people, and as our lead researcher talks about, to have a friend as well as a child safety officer.
Were there shortfalls in the survey results where, as a nation, and indeed particularly as Tasmania, we can do a little bit better?
Well, particularly around case and care planning. We had 45% of young people who knew about a case plan, and only 65% that actually were involved in making making the care plan. Yeah. So generally speaking, Tasmania did do a little bit better than the national average, but it is definitely something that we still need to look at. As Nicola has talked about, it's one of the most important things, like for them to actually know what it is. And it might be the language that they don't know what case and care plan means. But yeah, and we're hoping to do some work around that as well, to change the language as well, because it's very clinical and that sort of thing. So yeah.
Do you remember, Nicola, when you first heard the term case plan or care plan and had an inkling of what it meant?
Well, to be honest with you, up until I, completed Create Speak Up training, I actually didn't know what a case and care plan was, but for about 3 years I had been participating in it. So it's nuts to think about that. In 2019, you know, where children and young people don't have a case and care plan, or are participating and don't know what they're participating in. It's insane to think about.
She makes a good point, Nicola, doesn't she? Because you must think at times you're part of a mass thing that is out without personal definition. But the reality is that it is all about you, or it's supposed to be all about you, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and that's exactly it. They need to be, you know, young people need to be at the center of everything, and to be talked to and involved in, and even carers, carers get overlooked a little bit as well in terms of their contribution to case and care plans too. But really at the heart of it, you know, young people want to be heard and said, you know, they want to say, look, listen to me, and, you know, this is important to me, you know. So, yeah.
Nicola, tell me about how they helped you find your voice. What some of the techniques and the things that you went through to do that?
Well, so I'm a young consultant for the Create Foundation, and like I was saying just then, to become a young consultant, I had to go through Speak Up training, and there's three levels of Speak Up training. And through that, you got taught on how to advocate systemically.
How to become a young consultant, speak to the media even, like yeah. so today, so which yeah. is really great.
Public speaking. yeah. And because before Create, I could not speak in front of three people if I was at a podium, but now I can speak to like 50 to 100. It's nuts. It's just giving that support and teaching slowly how to get to that point.
Are you keen to put that back in now that you are older and you're growing up to help other younger people as they come through teen years?
Oh, definitely. I just recently, probably last year, one of the things we have done is we've implemented or encouraged when the election was going on to have a policy of extending the leave and care age to 21, and we did that.
Yeah,
we encouraged and, you know, said, hey, this is a great idea, and now it's actually being implemented slowly.
So you're 18 now, you're legally an adult, you're heading for university. I think you're at university or getting prep course, there?
Yeah, getting there.
How do you now fit then with the transition? How do you fit within the system now, Nicola?
Well, at the moment, I'm living with my old foster carer and paying board. Luckily, I'm able to do that, whereas some people might not be able to afford, or they might need to be move out so other, you know, kids in care can be placed in. But yeah, it's definitely quite shocking, because I'm sure like when you were 18, you wouldn't have been ready to move out at all. So it's weird to think about 18-year-olds moving out.
Well, just learning to manage everything's tough. And I think we all know that when we do move out, suddenly being told you have to kind of work out the electricity bill, buy enough food for the week to sort of be able to cook it and not throw it out at the end. These things aren't easy, are they? Yeah. As you'll discover as you go. Are you looking forward to uni?
Oh, definitely. I've gone to a few lectures and I'm absolutely loving it. It's definitely what I've been looking for, because I feel like lectures are definitely for my learning style, like the taking notes, the listening, and only focusing on that, the more comfortable, spacious environment. It's brilliant. I love it.
What do you want to study?
I'm going to study either a Bachelor of Social Sciences or a Bachelor of Nursing, or both, maybe.
You still got time to decide.
Yeah.
Did Create help you? And this is, I guess, maybe we all go through it in our teenage years, that sense where you can't look beyond next week. You don't know what a future is. You don't know how to even try and work one out. To what you've got now is you've got a future that you're looking at. Did Create help you with that, do you
think? Definitely. Definitely. Without Create's support, I don't know where I would have been. Like, I honestly don't think I would have known what a case like our leaving care plan was. Yeah. I don't know what I'd be doing, you know. I'd probably just be confused. I would have no money. I'd be possibly homeless.
Mm.
It's nuts. Like,
you can make decisions now for yourself, can't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Just on coming back to the case plan, because I find that astonishing that young people don't have a say in it. Is that important to you, to have that say in how your future is drawn up and developed by people such as caseworkers?
Definitely, definitely. It's quite...
Well, you're an individual, aren't you? I mean, that's what it comes down to in the end.
Exactly. It's not like you'd go to your mum and dad and be like, all right, what's my career going to be, or what am I going to do next? And they tell you and you have to do that. And that's exactly what... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And a final question. I think you addressed it, because you have so much confidence about you now. Coming into a radio studio doing an interview, you've done some newspaper ones as well. How's the week been?
Oh, it's been quite surprising, but exciting and awesome. A bit anxious, but it's been awesome. Yeah.
A lovely way to put it. Thank you so much. And Create, the surveying and the continue, I guess, quizzing young people in care and children, it'll continue?
Oh, most definitely. So we're doing some work with the department at the moment around case and care planning, which is great. So they've formed a steering committee to look at how they can make case and care plans more interactive for young people, and that's headed by our new child advocate, Sonia Pringle-Jones. So we work quite closely with the department, and Yeah, and we also want to commend the department for listening as well, and for the results as well. So I think that the Tasmania need to be really proud about where we're at, even though we've still got a long way to go. You know, our child safety officers are doing an amazing job.
As you said, they're hard working though, aren't they?
They're so hard working. Mm. And, you know, our department, you know, they do need a pat on their back because they are implementing some fantastic things at the moment. And it just takes time. Change takes time. So,
Definitely.
Certainly does. Sounds like it's on the way. Danielle Ashton and Nicola Jeffrey, thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
It's about 6 minutes away from the news.
Need a lift?
Level 1.
Not that lift. Ride with Rick. That's me. I'll come and...